It was the year of deep geeking.
The year of Feedbackapalooza.
The year we discussed our favorite show.
It was the year without Zima.
The year of great tequila.
The year of puns.
And a year of more interviews.
It was a new chance for fun.
It was the end of the series.
It was the year we made it to Crusade.
The year is 2009. The show, Babylon Podcast.
And we have returned one more time into the universe that we love so much, known as the Babylon Podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
I am Tim Callender.
You both sound like Shatner. Hey, it's the Easter Kosh. This is really off to a bad start. You can just stop now, Michael, and we'll just put this whole thing to bed. Put a tail on it.
Wow.
What?
I am Summer Brooks. I am Tim Callender. You're beautiful. Let me kiss you, alien bitch.
You know what? There's only one Shatner. All the rest of us are imitators.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't even going for the Shatner. I was just going for the. This is the last episode, or what we thought was, you know, the last episode of the season of the series until we knew, you know, hey, we got season 5.
Yeah.
So this is emotional. And after this week, our open no longer matches the season again.
Yeah, right.
That's all right, though.
So how many months is it going to take to get the next open?
But it'll take 12 months for anybody to figure out who the voices were.
No, we did. We did that already.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got a winner.
We had a winner. And
we have a wiener.
We announced a winner last week. Greg in New York, remember?
Yes, it was a joke.
Oh, okay.
It was a joke.
Never
work
mind.
With me, kids.
You guys well, got shit. Actually, it will take, you know, 12 months for people to figure out the montage that we come up with for next season. I just hope we're still doing. Can we actually do season 5 episodes?
Not with
still
me.
By February.
Yeah, of course we can. Of course we can. We'll still do season 5 open, even if we're doing Crusade.
Okay, cool.
Not a problem. I've been given a great thought of what's going to go into that. The Babylon Podcast Year 5 montage.
I know you and I think you and Brad were plotting something, I believe, or was it Gary?
Gary made a suggestion. We'll hear that later on in the show. But yeah, that should be fun. I need to get started now. So
yes, with as many clips are as involved, you have to start
yeah.
now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And speaking of clips, not really, but hey, congratulations to Gary. Apparently he pulled many legs throughout the listenership of Babylon 5 with his wonderful April Fool's post on website about the Labor Day release of his Crusade script books. Very well done.
There were some people going, oh, I hate you.
Yeah. And it was very much in JMS style. It was very, very well done. Yes.
He's channeling the great maker. Here. I hope that didn't leave any scars or anything.
Maybe he'll get the hint.
Ooh.
Nah, I don't think so.
I can't seem to get my head past that. I've got a picture in my brain right now of the Easter Kosh. And I'm liking it, I think.
The Easter Kosh?
Yeah. I know. It's Kosh, and he's in his little nitrogen office there with the smoke flowing around. But every now and then, you can start, the smoke clears enough that you can see the little fuzzy pink ears.
Now, are you going to have, the full long ears or the short, cute anime ears?
No, I think everything on Kosh is pretty over the top, so it needs to be the big-ass shit. Yeah, it's got to be big old ears flopping, the kind you can tune in CNN with, you know, that sort of stuff.
Are they pink or are they like yellow?
Well,
what
that's the part.
What color bunny
is
Kosh?
There you go. That can be another contest. I'm not sure. you know, at first I was like, well, it's going to be traditional white and pink. Well, maybe not. Maybe we get a little crazy. And would there be little twinkly lights inside those ears? I'm not sure. Or every time he hears something, would they twinkle? The possibilities are endless.
and exactly how many eggs can he carry beneath the shower curtain?
Yes. That's the question. And the answer would be excellent.
Hey, wait a minute. What do Vorlon eggs look like?
They are all eggs.
The eggs are too scrambled to count.
The eggs don't get a vote. Oh, well, we started the meme for tonight in the chat room, I'm sure.
There you go. Why not? Why not? Oh, but in fairness, now we also have to come up with the Passover kosh.
I got nothing.
I see a whole new spin-off series I haven't thought of in all these years. It's going to be called Oi Kosh.
If I was a rich kosh. I can't even do it.
It'll be Vorlon on the roof.
Yeah, exactly. Eating there. Is that fish? Hey, is that fish kosher?
No.
Boy. Boy, they.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad we got all this out.
Yes, we've officially run off the rails. The rails are way back over there.
I'm pulling the plug on this thing right now. Take us out, Summer, please.
Okay, we're going to take a really quick break. We're going to recenter ourselves, take a deep breath, calm down, and jump right into deep geeking for Deconstruction of Falling Stars.
This is a warning from the emergency podcast system. Officials have stated that Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp of Technorama have escaped after only serving 1 year of their life sentences. Chuck and Craig are considered unarmed and dangerous to your mental stability. It is expected that they will soon be producing Technorama weekly podcasts again. You are advised to go to chuckchat.com and listen for further instructions before they steampunk one of your loved ones.
Digging down into the most obscure facts and fandom, this is B.E.E.
Oh, I feel better now. There's nothing like laughter to make
me Yeah, that was good. During the break, we talked about Summer sang us a little rendition of Peter Cautiontail, which just about broke us in half.
So,
well, if you're keeping with a Passover theme, it'd be Here Comes Peter Cautionstein.
As long as somebody gets these couple of ideas to Luke Ski and see how far he runs with it, I'm good.
Yes.
I'm sorry, people. I tried to clear the channels. It's just not going to be cleared.
Not today.
Becoming clear to me that we so missed the opportunity available to us last month during St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh.
How's that?
Well, I mean, we didn't do the same idea. I'm sure we could have come up with a bunch of Irish kosh brogue kind of
things. Yeah, we did. We did
a couple.
Oh, we did?
I know what it is.
Really
like I said, wasn't that brilliant? You know, you guys, every holiday, you guys come up with good stuff.
I know what it is. It's almost a full moon. That's why we're giddy.
Okay.
That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it. That's my story.
Tim.
Yeah?
You got to find a phone.
Dude.
Can and stringing isn't working anymore.
The telephonic farts that are coming from your side of the country right now are just unacceptable.
Well, that's not really the telephone. I had bean burritos for dinner.
Did you crawl into the can to eat them? Is that what you're saying?
Well, use what was in the can first, but
wow.
On that note. The deconstruction of falling.
Has ever noticed that how you guys don't get much geeking done when I stay in the room with you?
Never did, Jeffrey. I've never noticed that. No.
It's because you're trying to distract us. So, like, because you haven't seen the episode, and you're like, "What episode number was that? What production number was that?"
Let's just get to the bottom of it. Was I in it? Was I in the show? If I was in that episode and I got a nice check, then I'm interested. Okay.
Unless
you
were in
the background.
I think
you probably were in this episode.
I'm
and
all about
it. The episode that Jeffrey can't remember tonight is Deconstruction of Falling Stars.
Mm-hmm.
422.
See, you were in it. And I bet I could tell you when you were in it.
Go ahead.
Oh, cool. Really?
Well, it's sort of an educated guess. At the beginning of the episode, where we have Sharon and Delenn's just-married shuttle arriving back on Babylon 5 for the reception, and they come into the customs area, and this is a huge party waiting to happen in celebration of their marriage. But as JMS mentions in his commentary for the episode, this episode was shot, well, written, but shot after they got the confirmation that the show is going to be picked up for the fifth year by TNT. So it was as much a party to celebrate the fact that they were getting the one last year as, you know, ostensibly Sheridan Delenn's wedding. So come on, Jeffrey, you know you were in that shot.
Wait a minute. The, what you just said doesn't make sense to me. You're saying that the big celebration scene in the area we used to call the Zocalo, which was the whole big main area there.
Yeah.
That Joe had already, that Joe knew that we were getting the fifth season?
Well, according to the timetable, according to what's in the script book, and what he mentions in the commentary, is that Sleeping in Light had been shot because they've, you know, as far as Warner's was concerned, you know, the fourth season was it. So they shot it. They shot Sleeping in Light, had it in the can, ready to go.
Wait. I'm sorry. So I said something wrong before, because Sleeping in Light was 422, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Right. No, so okay. Deconstruction was 421?
Well, it ended up going out as 421, but yeah, the Sleeping in Light was shot first. They were ready to end the series.
Right.
And then they got notice from TNT that, yes, they've been picked up for that final year. And then they were scrambling at that point to write Deconstruction and finish the post on the, you know, season four and get ready to shoot two TV movies and gear up for a fifth year of Babylon 5.
Yeah, because Deconstruction is listed as 422, but Sleeping in Light was originally 422 and renumbered 523.
Right, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay, but when we finished the fourth season, when we were done, there was no fifth season.
Correct.
We did not get the fifth season pickup until we were already on hiatus and all of us happened to be at Blackpool in London for a big convention.
Right.
That's when that happened. So there, we didn't.
Yeah, and that's when he started writing Deconstruction.
Isn't that where his notes got thrown away?
Yep. I mean, I'm just telling you what is in the script book. And
so what was the production number? What was the? I'm sorry. I've derailed your geek here. So what was the production number for Deconstruction?
Right now, it is listed as 422,
which is probably when it aired.
Yes. What was the production number?
Well, maybe it was
42.
I don't know. Was it shot as 501? I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't remember. So we'll let smarter people decide.
Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Okay. Get your geek on.
All right.
I'm going to get another beer.
But I figured you were probably in the big party crowd scene that you don't remember in an episode.
I totally remember. And I had some kind of jumpsuit thing on, like a construction worker jumpsuit or something. You know what? Timothy, you may even have a picture of this in your archives to put on the website.
Okay.
I'm in some kind of blue overalls, but I happen to be wearing a. No, you see, that can't be true. That can't be true. We are having a super senior moment right now. I really don't remember what's going on.
It was actually gray,
well,
and it had
about
a
bit. Summer and I will do some geeking, and then when you're ready, simply
try to dredge all memories of 501 up, because I'm pretty sure it was originally shot as 501.
It would have to have been.
Sure.
So, Summer, what's your reaction to this episode, apart from Jeffrey's lack of ability to remember what?
Ow! Oh, I liked the middle two stories the best.
Really?
Yes.
See, those were my least favorites.
You didn't like the Delenn?
I liked it, but I didn't love it. And the whole holographic recreation, while there's, I think, some good moments in it, I think overall that concept is flawed.
Okay.
I really liked the talking heads at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved Brother Alwyn and Brother Michael.
And see, I see the one with, you know, the academic, you know, panel with, you know, where right. Delenn comes in. I see that as a different version of the talking heads. You know, they're just doing it as a lecture instead of on ZNN or ISN.
Right. Well, yeah, right, and I agree with you, and I like kind of the deconstruction, but I keep trying to make it work in my mind that Delenn would show up at just that moment, you know, that the lecture had been already announced and she would have heard about it and known basically what they were going to try to do, and so she, you know, shows up unannounced.
I am allowing for technological advances, because, you know, uh-huh. This is 100 years later, right?
Yes.
Now, we can already squeeze in the technology we saw in Lost Tales, where they had that, you know, that quantum space thing. So, yeah, she could get around faster, and she's on probably a newer Minbari, you know, White Star. So she's got, you know, the flexibility to move around. She's not on a cruiser all by herself. She's not living on a planet. She's amongst the stars where, you know, that's where John went. That's where she's going to go eventually.
Right. And I don't have a problem with that. There's just, I'm not quite sure how to, it's one of those, I've watched the episode three times because it's one of those things where, like I said, I like some of it a lot, and then there's some stuff that just rubs me wrong. And this one, it's like, while I can't quite put my finger on it, I just come off with a whole meh kind of feeling about it.
Okay.
Whether because it's too pedantic, and I know that was probably Straczynski's point, what these were academics being academic, and I get all that. There's just, I don't know, just something about it that lacks impact.
Yeah. Now, the high point of it is Delenn's 2 minutes, where she says, "John was a good man. You people are idiots. See ya."
Right.
Their argument. I think their arguments are intentionally cryptic or just uneducated, because like she said, you're talking to hear yourself talk and you don't know what you're talking about.
Sure. And I guess maybe because it's so obvious is why it might leave me cold. You know, by, I guess, like I said, I'm trying to articulate it. I'm not quite sure how to get it. It's almost too patent. The point is obvious.
I see what you're talking about. The vehicle by which she showed up and made her statement was a little weak.
Yeah, and contrast that with the three talking heads on the Nightline kind of thing.
Okay? Oh, that just made my skin crawl.
They were overlapping. It was a heated. It was a heated debate. You know, they were already making judgments, but I liked it. There was a zing and a dynamism.
And there's a scary echo with the way today's talking heads operate.
Right. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe because it still resonates even, you know, 10, 15 years later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those characters seemed more defined, even though we saw them for all of a minute and a half. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen, like, a video conference academic lecture? You can tell, half the time, you can tell each person just wants to prove the point they made in the doctoral thesis they did 12 years ago and haven't moved beyond because somebody disagreed with them back then. It happens.
And that's fine. And I know. And again, it's one of those where ultimately I just have to bow before the greater wisdom of those who have probably encountered that sort of thing more than I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know for sure because I've never really been in that kind of academia before.
Okay.
So.
And
but,
see,
I
have
said that.
Yeah, I have a similar problem with the monks at the end. It seems like it's too pat. That to me seems too pat. I like the story. I just like the real speak and good speak.
Well, see, that's the one that really bothers me most.
Really?
Yes. It's number one. If you've got the technology to manufacture holograms at that level, why would you even really need to institute the emotional and intellectual engrams of the source? Because you're just gonna screw that up anyways. You know, you're gonna be fabricating it whole cloth. Okay? So why are you even bothering trying to, in essence, resurrect the original source? It makes no sense.
And see, okay? I see that as an echo of what Clark wanted to do after he captured Sheridan. You know, we want you compliant. We want you, you know, apologetic. We want you interactive so people can ask questions of you and you can answer them.
But it's 500 years later, and the thing is, it's not a question of brainwashing. It's just literally a question of computer programming.
Technology may have advanced, ideology not necessarily so.
And I agree. I agree with that completely. I just don't think that it's not logical that you would want to have those engrams. And I'm not even saying, you know.
Who said they thought about it like that?
In the end, what's that?
I said nothing's anywhere saying that they even thought about it like that. These are their constructs, their constructions. How could they possibly get away from us? Oops. Happens
yeah,
all the time.
To me, that was the cheesiest part. As much as I liked the batonnage of Mr. Garibaldi with the technician Daniel, oh man, the whole fact that his hologram is able to run amok through the system and take it all down and start the war, just for me, just strains credulity.
And I didn't see it as him taking the system down. He was being fed information from outside sources to complete the update, so to speak, and he watched where the information was coming in and figured out, hey, that's a two-way channel. I can broadcast information out. So all he did was broadcast his conversation with Daniel out to the real world so that the other one, there was no hijacking of the system. He just, he opened up a BitTorrent, so to speak.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe hijack isn't the right word. I'll agree with you. It just seemed so, I don't know, almost nonsensical. That was the thing that really irks me in that episode, is that whole thing where, you know, well, he does kind of hijack the system because he prevents Daniel from shutting him down.
No, he did that merely by talking. He did a Garibaldi. He talked his way around.
No,
yeah.
No, because at one point, toward the end, Daniel says, "All right, computer, freeze simulation, and it doesn't freeze.
It doesn't freeze because the systems are busy because they realize that they've got an incoming attack. They're trying to bring their defenses up. So
So why don't you just pull the plug on the whole thing?
He couldn't.
Oh, hell, we need all that power. You know, forget commands. We're just pushing the off button.
Yeah.
And Daniel's standing there in the holodeck grid going, what the heck just happened?
Tune in next week when summer sets.
I just all the way around, it just to me doesn't track on a logical fashion.
I just love it because it's a perfect Garibaldi moment, and I absolutely love Garibaldi. That character was just, you know, the wise ass that you couldn't help but like.
Right.
So there.
Yeah, I don't know. See, the things that I did like in that scene were the two bits where Sheridan is reprogrammed to give his blood and thunder speech.
Yeah, that was scary.
He delivers it very convincingly. And I know, yes, that's why they call it acting, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is that, you know, there's no leak through of, oh, man, I can't believe I'm saying this. It's like he believes it as he's saying it.
Yeah, the nuances. You know, the nuances in some of that speech are just brilliant.
Right. You are just a down payment. And then the other one that I like is Franklin when he's reprogrammed. You know, it's clinical, it's direct, and it's scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that tight little smile that he makes as he delivers the report about, you know, eviscerating children, but if we pump them with enough drugs, maybe they'll survive long enough for us to get valuable data. Gives this little smile and then, you know, goes into the stasis mode or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was chilling. Those were great performances. But, like I said, you know, the concept of that all just really, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of what you said, you know, the problems that you had with those, you know, the two scenes that I liked the most was what I had the problem with the end. I like the implication that we saw the war that caused the Earth to lose all of its technology, all of its information. They just burned both sides to the ground, had to start all over again. But the Rangers are out there helping them rebuild a little bit faster than they would have on their own. There's something about that entire interplay between the two monks. It just falls flat for me. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
In what way? Because I really, really liked.
It seemed
I'm curious to hear
too convenient. What's the younger one's name? I'm drawing a blank on it. His crisis of faith is brushed aside too easily.
But if you listen to the dialogue when Michael comes in and says, "I'm having crisis of faith," Alwyn says, "Oh, that again." So this isn't the first time that Michael's come in having a crisis of faith. In fact, just from that one response that Alwyn gives him, you get the sense, or I get the sense, that this is almost a weekly occurrence.
And I guess he shouldn't have called it a crisis of faith. He should have, you know, just a conundrum, a philosophical or spiritual, you know, crossroads where it's like, you know, this information doesn't match this information. That's not a crisis.
Well, but it is. It's emotional, and that's why I like it, because Michael was very emotional. And he was, you know, he was all, he was completely worked up, because that's, you know, this is something that keeps coming up. That's the implication from Alwyn, and Alwyn basically has to tell him, he's probably told him before and will tell him again, look, you know, if it doesn't, you know, as Michael says, oh, what if my whole life's been a lie? I mean, it's so melodramatic and over the top. And Alwyn says, so if it doesn't happen today, but it happens tomorrow, does that make it a lie? And I don't know. I really like that. I really like that kind of that wisdom that was there. It just had a great deal of appeal to me. And I liked that they were able to work putting Lorien and Sheridan and Ivanova as great mythic figures And it, for me, delivers one of the great lines in Babylon 5, you know, where Michael says, you know, what good is reason if it, you know, if it does us no good? And you know, Alwyn's response is, reason and faith are like the shoes on your feet. You get farther with both than you do with just one. I hear what you're saying, but it worked really well. It always works really well for me. And that's one of the things I really like. Because then when it's all said and done, as Alwyn finishes his report to his superiors, mm-hmm. he basically says that, you know, Michael will make a great ranger in about 20 years once right. he gets works
and,
this out.
And the whole part where he's talking, you know, giving his report, sending his report in, like adjusting the cameras, that's actually cute and amusing. It's just that conversation between the two of them felt really, really contrived. I'm like, you're just trying to force it too much. Why?
See, that's exactly how I feel about the academia.
The other one, yeah.
They're just trying to, they're making the point. Yes, we get it. These people are pedantic and they're full of themselves.
Yeah, well, it's 88 minutes of content in a 44-minute package.
Well, you know, and that's the one thing that overall that I find very interesting about this episode, generally speaking. If given that in terms of production in the real world, they had to put something out to be the season finale instead of the show finale, they could very easily have just gone with a clip show.
Hmm.
But they didn't.
That's true.
You know, I mean, seriously, how in the end, you know, if we were fans, you know, and we were given a clip show, we would have gone, clip show, that's kind of crappy. But you know what? We got year five, so I'll put up with it. And the clips are pretty good. But that's not what we get. We get instead, it's almost like the anti-clip show. We're going to give you the clip show, but it's for the next million years.
So is that what we're going to do on the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So wait a minute. The very last clip we see of the evolved human, you know, flying into his encounter suit. Were you in that encounter suit, or was it just standing there?
You lost me there.
There's a scene where right before the sun goes Nova, he's like downloaded all the records, and he's like, you know, I wouldn't miss this for anything. And he turns into a ball of light and flies into an encounter suit that looks similar but different from what we've seen before. Is there anybody in there, or is that just standing there? Do you remember that?
I don't. What show was this?
501.
Or 422. We're not sure which.
Oh, I thought we were talking about One Tree Hill again.
One Kosh Hill? Now, that was another interesting thing. If you listen to what he says, I wouldn't miss the celebration for the world.
Yeah.
So it's like Earth is facing imminent destruction by supernova, which is implied that it's being artificially induced.
I didn't get that. I've seen that argument before, that it was artificially induced, but I get the feeling.
Well, from JNS himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Uh-huh. Check the Lurker's Guide for one.
I will have to double check that. But no, the thing was, yeah, Earth was being.
Also says that Kosh is animatronic.
I think that encounter suit looks an awful lot like Lucifer.
Ooh. But no, the Earth being destroyed, I can see it where they call it a celebration because mankind, humans, have finally gone out to the stars and are out in the stars. They don't need their cradle anymore.
And that could be, yeah. Yeah, I just, it's not a flaw. It's an interesting juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, remember when we saw the first ones, they didn't really have a home world. I mean, they just kept hanging out around Sigma 957. I'm guessing it was a highly trafficked hyperspace interchange, you know?
Exactly.
There's a really good
Waffle House.
Yeah, there's a really good Waffle House and a quick stop right there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So they just, you know, kept popping through
where
there.
The first ones make number one.
Oh, you said that, didn't you?
I did, yeah, sorry. It's one of those episodes, ultimately, for all its flaws, I really enjoy watching it because I just think it's an interesting approach to the thing. Does that make any sense? You know, it's taking a look at our characters, but it doesn't involve time travel. You know, in the cliched sense of they've been whisked through time so they can see the fruits of their labor. It's that we get the advantage of looking across a million years. The other thing that struck me as, I don't know how familiar you are with the entire Dune saga, the Frank Herbert version, not the prequels that his son
I think I read the first four long time ago.
One of the things that I found interesting is after the first three, Herbert then projected the Dune universe, again, another 10,000 years forward in time. And what happens is that it's almost a whole new story, but yet has touchstones on what had gone before. And this is that kind of a thing. You know, I'd be really fascinated, even knowing what we know, I'd really be fascinated to see what the Babylon 5 universe stories would be a million years from hence. You know, what is going on?
I think the stories would be, you know, the evolved humans guiding a new set of younger races, whatever might have popped up in that time frame.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting to see?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that'd be fascinating.
Any thoughts from you, Jeffrey?
Fascinating.
The other thing that I like is at the beginning when we get everybody showing up for the reception and Delenn wanting to keep it quiet, and Sheridan says, no, you know, we got to put up with it. The comments between Jakar and Londo are priceless. You know? Was it something I said? Perhaps it is everything you say.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Good stuff. Those characters are too much to underwrite for. They had to have been. So, anyways, I don't know. Do you have anything else you need to say about this? I think I've actually pretty much tore it all apart.
Pretty much done.
Just to clarify, the you were right about the 501/422 thing. So that was the hiccup in my mental processing there, because I was like, wait a minute, if that aired at that point and that's that part of the story, how could I have been wearing the shirt that I bought when I was in London at the conference where we got the news of the pickup for the fifth season? So that's why I was having such a short circuit inside my ever shrinking pea brain. And so it makes perfect sense now that I would have had the shirt with me, because I picked it up before we shot Deconstruction, and then Deconstruction aired before the end of the fourth. So anyway, it all makes sense. It's all good.
Yeah.
We're okay. Thank
cool.
you.
All right. Cool. So we've
a therapy. Fine.
We have our timeline straight after all. Yay.
Thank you, Doctor.
All right. All right, I think we're done with that. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of voicemails arguing that, no, you're wrong about this. No, you're wrong about that. Yeah. So go ahead, call in your voicemails. Because I like that kind of discussion. But yeah. We're going to take a quick break and come back with something. We'll figure it out.
On April the 28th, the One Tree Hill podcast will have an exclusive behind-the-scenes of One Tree Hill interview with Nick Lachey, who will be on One Tree Hill starting April the 27th. Nick talked a little bit about what it's like to be on a show playing himself.
Yeah, it's interesting. As you said, when you're playing yourself and then the dialogue is scripted, man, would I really say that? You know, but so it is kind of acting in a sense, but in other ways, it's, you know, when you're playing yourself, it isn't acting at all. So it is kind of a fine line to walk.
So make sure to go to OneTreeHillPodcast.net and check out this exclusive interview with Nick Lachey on April the 28th.
Hey, what's up? This is Nick Lachey. I'm on the One Tree Hill Podcast. Why aren't you?
And somewhere over there in the magic digital bits, we have another voicemail from Gary. Is that right?
Yep. Roll message.
Oh, let's see what Gary has to say to us today.
Hey guys, Gary from Jacksonville, and I'm listening to the Stephen First interview, and I don't know if you guys have started planning out the Season 5 opener yet, but to replace the where Kosh says if you go to Zaha Doom, you will die, I really think you should throw in Stephen First's little clip there of not everybody who worked out Babylon 5 kicks the bucket. I think I don't think it's being, you know, sacrilegious or disrespectful, and I think it does fit the line that it would replace, but it was really funny. I'm still cracking up. Take care of you, Buck, guys. Bye.
Yeah, this is in the open, and we're starting to give him some thought. Yeah, that interview with Steven was really a lot of fun.
He's hilarious.
And then Jeffrey sent an email out for all our fine listeners. You know, we try to communicate amongst ourselves to figure out what's going on. Well, Jeffrey says, are there any quotes about deconstruction of falling stars we could pull from the first interview? And it was like, no.
Chicken.
Well, I asked him a question about it, and he basically said, it's too smart for me, and I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. All right, I'm done. I got nothing.
Right.
Gary can't wait. He wants to Skype in now with a question.
He's got more questions? Go ahead, Mike. Skype him in.
I'll get Gary in.
Come on, we need to
move something. Yeah, Gary, you know you can jump in anytime. Where are you?
That's it. This is the call in hour.
This is the live call in.
Gary's with us.
Wow. Hey everybody, how you doing tonight?
Hey Gary, how are you?
This is terrible. It's wonderful that you're here, but that actually reduces our audience by 50%. So
oh no, I listen anyway.
Yeah, Yar still comes in and there's no reason for us to do it anymore.
Right, exactly. Oh, wait, there's Edmund.
Oh, and Edmund,
I'm not sure that he still listens to us anymore.
No, he's been on Slice a lot more lately.
Yeah, exactly. He's on that other show.
Yeah, right. And plus, they've been cranking out Three-Edged Sword like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah.
These days, so.
So,
up,
to
Gary?
What do we
you
own?
Waving your hand at the back of the class.
Yeah.
Jumping up and down.
Well, I'm holding the Babylon File Volume 2 book by Andy Lane with our friend here, Jeffrey's introduction.
The book exists? So I was under the impression that this book was just a myth. Volume 2 does exist.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's similar to what the first one did. It seemed like he was on stage probably several times from what it appears.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. He was a good guy, and we got along well. But I wrote this forward. Okay. Oh, no. Wait. Don't read it quite yet. Let's you and I have a conversation off air, and then we'll.
Okay, Jeffrey. No problem. I need a blackmail material on you anyway.
Gary is the ghost of forwards past.
Yeah. The good news is this is not a hyper-popular book that everybody has a copy of. So maybe it's
Gosh, I didn't even know it existed 3 months ago.
Nice. Well, until this show. Now it's going to be on eBay for sale for $500 a copy.
You'd be surprised how many, like, Gary will find something or Peter will find something, and then all of a sudden, you know, 20 other people want to go find it, and it... All the prices shoot up, and I'm just glad I found a copy of Parliament of Dreams when I did, because apparently the price on that went up too.
What, on the video?
It's insane. I can't even buy it right now.
No. There was an academic book published out, a series of academic essays on Babylon 5, and the name of the book was called The Parliament of Dreams. It was similar to the You know the Buffy conferences they have? Well, they actually had a conference on Babylon 5. That's the subtitle of the book, Conferring on Babylon 5. And
I've checked Amazon for the U.S., for the U.K., and my gosh, I wish I could read German, but I have no luck.
I lucked out and found one at the right moment, at the right time. I didn't even pay, you know, an exorbitant fee for it. I found a copy. I think it was on Amazon UK, and you know, for regular prices. And ever since then, there hasn't been any copies. And Gary's like, God damn it! Mm.
That's okay. On other websites, they're not telling me until after they get it at this point.
You've screwed it for everybody, Gary. Well done.
Yeah, sir.
It's good to be dumb and forget stuff. It's served me well over the years.
Okay.
What else you got, Gary?
Oh, geez, not much. I'm working hours that, you know, sort of keeping up with summer, I guess, from what I hear. So.
Hey, Gary, before we let you go, I did want to ask you something about your April Fool's post. given as Sheridan says, it's always best to wrap a lie within the truth. Obviously, the script folks won't be ready by Labor Day this year, next year, or even the year beyond that. We don't know. But how much of the data that was in there that's supposed to appear in these books that you had written about actually would have made it in? Or did you manufacture that all whole cloth?
Shoveling it with like a snow shovel, Tim.
Excellent. Well done.
Nice.
what I actually did was, it's actually based on JMS's original post about the first book of the Babylon 5 series, and then I just embellished.
Nice. Nicely done. Well, it's the tone of it was perfect, even down to the one that got me. I mean, even knowing, you know, because you had emailed asking for permission, but the bit about Jane the embedded correspondent, I was like, man, that would have been so cool.
Well done. Excellent craftsmanship, yep. Sir.
Oh, we lost somebody else.
Yep.
Oh, there he goes.
He's gone. You know, if we're going to have situations come up like this where we're going to have Gary join us or other people join, we should just try go to meeting. GoToMeeting.com, can I just say, is like so cool. You got to try it. You got to do it. Just GoToMeeting.com. You'll see a thing there that says GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Click on it for us. Take a look at what they've got there. Try it out 30 days free. You keep us alive because they are a fantastic new sponsor of the show. So go ahead, GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Enjoy, drink a lot, have fun.
There you go.
I've used GoToMeeting at my day job. It's a very good thing.
See?
Yeah.
See? And if Gary would have been with with us right now on GoToMeeting, that whole thing would have gone a whole lot better than it actually did.
Or you would have been able to read the words because you could have scanned it and you would have looked at it and gone, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Brad would have done a whole lot better. Everybody would have been happier, healthier.
Exactly. Summer, I think we're done.
I think we're done.
I think we're done. Send your Easter contributions to
Peter Cautiontail.
Peter Cautiontail, exactly. Right. Oi, oi, oi.
Or Peter Cautionstein, yes.
So, if you want to add your own comments to this fun fest that we have every week, you can send an email to babylonpodcast@gmail.com. You can put your comments on the very many articles on the website, babylonpodcast.com. We have forums over at farpointforums.com. Go over and check out the Babylon Podcast threads. You can add your comments to the never-ending 83x9x12 thread. I swear that thing is going to, like, become an AI and walk.
Yes. I agree.
We come to the website, donate. We can use every penny we get because very, very soon it will be in the hundreds here, and air conditioning is not cheap anymore.
Amen.
I'll open a window, Mike.
And if
Mike out of the homeless shelter, pay his air conditioning bill.
Or just go to gotomeeting.com/podcast. Click on that and we will get some money so that we can afford to keep Summer and Michael cool.
Awesome.
There you go.
And if you want to call in your voicemail in between when Gary calls in his voicemails, that number is 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-2259.
You're the great work. No, wait a minute. It's not the year the Great War came upon. I think the Great War came upon us. Was it 2258? I don't remember.
In any case, we'll see you next time on the other side of the Koster basket.